Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our presentation. 15 August is a remarkable day in history. It is Sri Aurobindo's birthday and India's Independence Day. All life is yoga. This is a mantra given to us by Sri Aurobindo. This is an offering to Sri Aurobindo. We start with light group children, telling in brief of life of Sri Aurobindo, followed by salutation of Sun God Surya Namaskar.
Sri Aurobindo had two brothers and one sister. His father's name was Krishna Dangosh and his mother's name was Swarnalata.
Sri Aurobindo with his two brothers went to England to study at the age of 7.
This picture is when he was a student in England at the age of 11. He was a brilliant student and favorite of all teachers.
English professor at the University of Baroda.
Sri Aurobindo got married to Miranali Devi. Sri Aurobindo fought for India's freedom and was put in jail for some time.
He went to Pondicherry.
Sri Aurobindo wrote many books. He wrote world's longest poem called Savitri.
Sri Aurobindo stayed in Pondicherry.
Bringing into life Savitri, the epic poem by Sri Aurobindo in the form of play by Fate Group.
In India, in the time of legend, there lived a king Ashwapati who had no children.
In keeping with the tradition of those times, he went to the forest and performed penance. A will and a hope immense now seized his heart. Morning and evening he faced the fire on the sacred altar and prayed for the gift of 100 sons.
At the end of the 18th year of his penance, Divine Mother Savitri appeared and spoke to him.
Desire compelled her mortal birth. Within a year, a beautiful girl child was born to the king and his wife. He named her Savitri after the goddess.
Beauty and intelligence were Princess Savitri's, and eyes that shone like the sun. She was the divine grace in human form. So splendid was she that people thought that she herself was a goddess.
Savitri grew with such a divine afflatus that no suitor, no prince, dared to claim her hand in marriage. Her father gave it.
Weak men turn away from radiance like yours. Go out and find a man worthy of you. Then I'll arrange your marriage.
In the company and servants of Kansalar, Savitri traveled from place to place.
She searched in vain for a whole year, but now the destined spot and hour was close, unknowing she had neared her nameless goal.
She came upon a hermit sitting by a river crossing.
Here lived many who had left their towns and cities for a life of prayer and study.
Pranam Guruji, I am Savitri, daughter of King Ashwapati of Madura.
Blessing my dear child.
Who is this young man?
That is Prince Satyavan, son of Exalan King Dimensana. It is called Satyavan, naming son of truth. No man is rich in virtue.
Thus, Savitri's quest came to an end. Her heart had chosen Satyavan.
When Savitri returned home, she found her father with the holy seer called Narada.
Savitri, my daughter, you have returned to me in great spirits. Have you found your husband?
Father and king, I have carried out thy will. One who I sought, I found in distant lands. I have obeyed my heart. I have heard its call on the borders of a dreaming wilderness. Mid showers, giant hills, and brooding woods. In his thatched hermitage, Dhyumatsena dwells. Blind, exiled, outcast, once a mighty king. Dhyumatsena's son, Satyavan, I have met on the wild forest's lonely verge. My father, I have chosen. This is done.
Daughter, I see a heavy shadow floating over the name of Satyavan, but it has been chased away by a stupendous light. So, I approve your choice. Your happiness is all I desire.
A shadow? Oh, Narad, please bless our child and advise you how to keep away from the beings of evil.
Narayan, Narayan. O Queen, those who are doomed will not listen to warnings. They will go ahead, so I do not wish to speak.
O Narad, is something amiss with the man my daughter has chosen?
Narayan, Narayan. No man could be more suitable. But Satya is fated to die within 12 months from today.
There is God, there is grace, there is justice. What sin has my daughter committed that she should be tempted like this and delivered to doom? Savitri, go out once again and make another choice.
I have chosen Satyavan and I cannot choose another. Fate's law may change, but not my spirit's will.
So be it.
Soon the king went to Savitri to arrange the marriage.
Satyavan was overjoyed to be offered such a bride, but his father, Dhyumatsena, the blind king, asked Savitri.
Can you bear the hard life of the hermitage? Will you wear on a simple robe and a coat of matted bark? Will you eat only fruit and plants of the wild?
I care nothing about comfort or hardship. In palace or in kingdom, I am content.
around the sacred fire in the hall of worship.
In front of all the priests and hermits, they were married.
For a year, they lived happily.
Savitri took up household duties from morning till evening.
She spoke to none of the impending calamity. The great never share their sufferings with others. It is the weak who speak of theirs.
She did not speak a word of it, even to Satyavan, but her heart was grieving, hidden by her calm appearance.
One day, when her sufferings were severe, she heard a voice speak to her from her own higher being.
Why did you come to this death-bound earth? If it was only to nourish grief in a helpless heart, or with hard, earless eyes, await thy doom.
What else can I do if Satyavan were to die? I will follow him in death.
Is this the report that I must make? My head bowed with shame before eternal seat. His power he kindled in thy body has failed. His labor and returns, her task undone.
What shall I do? I have no strength.
Find out thy soul, recover thy hid self. Then shall they harbor my force and conquer death.
Savitri plunged into herself in search of her soul. A face, a form came down into her heart and made of it its temple and pure abode.
Savitri had undergone all the fundamental work to find her soul, and when the fated day of Satyavan's death arrived, she was confident.
Mother, please permit me to accompany Satyavan today and see the emerald world around.
Go, my child.
Hand in hand, Savitri and Satyavan walked over wooded hills.
They smelled the blossoms on flowering trees and boughs beside clear streams.
The cries of peacocks echoed through the woods.
While Savitri rested, Satyavan chopped firewood from a fallen tree, when suddenly he dropped his axe.
Ah, my head aches! My body is burning! What is wrong with me?
Savitri felt an awful silence coming over the woods. There was no cry of birds, no call of beasts.
She grew aware that she and Satyavan were no longer alone.
She saw a huge shadow before her. She knew Visible Death was standing right there and Satyavan had passed from her embrace.
Deity, who are you?
Princess, you see me only by the power of your prayer. I am Yama, God of Death. Now is time I must take the soul of your husband Satyavan.
Lord Yama, how come you have come to take the soul of my husband and have not sent one of your messengers?
Savitri, your husband Satyavan was a virtuous soul. Only I, Yama, the god of death, can carry his soul. Unclasp thy hold on thy husband. Thy husband suffers.
A unique procession commences. The soul of Satyavan in front, behind him the god of death, and behind both, Savitri. Yama strides smoothly and swiftly through the woods, while Savitri struggles to keep up.
Finally, Yama turns to face her.
Savitri, you have come far, O mortal. Return to thy transient kind. Aspire not to accompany death to his home, as if thy breath could live where time must die.
O death, thou speakest truth, but truth that slays. I answer to thee with the truth that saves. My will is greater than the law, O death. My love is stronger than the bonds of faith.
Princess, in me all take refuge, for I, death, am God. Return to earth. There you will find fresh love and forget the old.
Lord Yama, I know your duty is to take my husband away, but my duty as his wife is to stay beside him.
Princess, that duty is an end. Still, I admire your loyalty. I will grant you a boon. Anything but the life of your husband.
O death, offer thy boons to tired spirits and hearts that could not bear the wounds of time. But If you want to give, give all that Satyavan wanted for his parents. Restore my father-in-law's kingdom and his sight.
His sight and his kingdom shall be restored.
Yama again headed south. Savitri followed. Along a river bank, thorns and tall sharp grasses let Yama pass untouched, but they tore at Savitri's skin and clothes.
Savitri, you have come far enough!
Lord Yama, I know my husband will find happiness in your kingdom, but you're carrying away the happiness which is mine.
Princess, even love must bend to fate. Still, I admire your devotion. I will grant you another boon. Anything but the life of your husband.
Then grant many more children to my father.
Your father shall have many more children.
Again, Yama turned south while Savitri followed. Up a steep hill, Yama glided while Savitri clambered. And at the top of the mountain, Yama halted.
Savitri, I forbid you to come any further.
Lord Yama, you're respected and revered by all. Yet no matter what may come, I'll remain by Satyavan.
Princess, I tell you for the last time, you will not. Yet, I can only admire your bravery and your firmness. I will grant you one last boon. Anything but the life of your husband.
Then grant all that Satyavan wanted for me.
I grant you many beautiful daughters and strong sons, and a long and happy life with your family. Now, return, O child, to thy forsaken earth.
O death, how can your promises be fulfilled if I have to go back alone? Thy gifts resist. Earth cannot flower if lonely I return.
You do not ask for your husband's life, yet I cannot grant your wish without facing him. Princess, your wit is as strong as your will. Return, Savitri. You have won your husband's life.
The sun was just setting when Savitri returned to where Satyavan was lying.
His chest rose and fell, his eyes opened.
Is the day already gone? I have slept long. It seems to have been travelling in strange worlds. And you were there too, and have brought me from darkness and danger. Was it a dream?
Yes, but the dark dream is over now. Look at all these wonderful beings in this world. Let us give joy to all, for joy is ours. It is evening. Let us return.
Yama was true to all he had promised.
Savitri's father had many more children.
Satyavan's father regained both sight and kingdom.
In time, Satyavan became king and Savitri his queen.
They lived long and happily, blessed with many children.
So they had no fear or tears when Yama came again to carry them to his kingdom.
Sahana Mala Guru, Sahana Guru. May we all be nourished. May we work together with great energy. May our intellect be sharpened. May our study be effective. May we not quarrel amongst us.
I am still not peaceful. Hey, Purushottam, my mind is restless.
Samastaha, Sukhino Bhavantu. own life contribute in some way to that happiness and freedom for all.
We would like to invite you to join us in chanting Sri Aurobindo's Gayatri Mantra three times.
Any of you can join us, huh?
Or we can chant from the nose.
Yes, on the chant.